to Just Break Up, the podcast about love, heartbreak, and all the relationship advice you don't want to hear. My name is Sierra DeMolder.
And I'm Sam Blackwell. This week, we're going to tackle topics like starting over when you feel like you've fucked up, age gaps, and what to do when what they said doesn't match how they behave.
Oh, those bastards. That's a great summary. I like them instantly angry.
Just to start off the episode, we want to give you a Surgeon General's warning, which is that we don't know what we're talking about.
Absolutely not. We are doing this live. We're speaking off the cuff. We are giving our general opinions without any rehearsal. So, like, we could be saying something really stupid by accident because we all know that when things go live, things go wild.
Right.
That's what
and we live are. We are not wild. Licensed therapists, but we have spent a lot of time in therapy. So. That counts for something, right?
Yeah, Talkspace, you should definitely sponsor us because, we can point a lot of people to you. And I'd love a discount.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Please.
This is all to say, please take our advice as you see fit in your life. We are just here to offer our humble opinion to hopefully shed some understanding and maybe some laughs on the incredibly rewarding and mostly confusing experience that is love. So, yeah. Hi, Sam.
Hi. How are you?
I'm so good. How are you?
It's been a while.
It's been a while. So, I want to start off this episode by just, like, maybe we can share some personal stories about ourselves. And I was thinking about...
No, absolutely not.
I've been curating... Well, we've both been curating... That's funny. We've been curating our Instagram, which I love. And if you haven't checked out our Instagram, it's justbreakuppod at Instagram.com.
That's not it.
It's at Just Break Up Pod on the Instagram website or app.
Perfect.
But we've been curating it, and my favorite memes to post are like these super petty breakup memes. So I was wondering, can you share some like petty breakup stories?
Okay, here's the thing, is that I wish that I was petty after breakups, but like I never am. I'm always just like... Either, like, cut them off completely, block, or I'm just, like, very nice to them afterwards.
Sam's, 90% of the time, Sam's relationship advice is block.
You just don't need those people in your life.
You don't. You don't. And you say it so many times, the word loses meaning. Just like your ex.
Block.
I'm not going to lie. I've taken the block.
She's the only one that's ever taken
advice. And it was pretty successful.
Good.
I would say 90% Sierra approved.
Good. 90%. Yeah. I mean, that's all I can ask for.
Yeah. I can't wait to make block t-shirts.
Oh, I can't wait either.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
Look for them on our website coming up soon. But anyway, so you're often, you block them, you cut them out, you ghost, but because you were hurt.
Yep.
Or you do what?
Or I'm just like really nice to them afterwards. There's like no in between. It's either like you're in my life.
There's literally nothing exciting about that. I can't even
wow,
okay, you polite son of a bitch.
No, I wish that I was petty when I broke up because it seems like it would be fun. And then I could like produce some memes
about it. But then you remember you're like an adult and pettiness is meant to be shown through memes and not actual actions.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
I know.
Right. But I will say I was dating a guy for 2 years and he was the worst.
Oh,
I'm secretly afraid he's listening to this right now, to be honest.
If he is, I have some stories to tell about him in 5 seconds when you're done. I hated this man, y'all. I hated this man.
He was not good. But
this is the closest I've ever gotten into a cat fight with this man.
That's right.
Remember? We were outside of a gay bar at like 1 in the morning, and I was lit.
You were feisty, that's for sure.
He started it, and he was 10 times feistier than I was.
I know. But he always pretended like he wasn't being feisty, and that was like...
Feisty is even too good of a word. Like, he was just being petty and catty.
Yeah.
Like, I almost slapped this man across the face.
Well, okay, yes. Well, good news is that we broke up.
Okay, anyway, I'm sorry.
And we broke up because of the voter ID amendment that happened in Minnesota. And we were at a bar, and we were talking about the voter ID amendment, and he kept saying that he was, like, for it, and he wanted people to have voter ID, and it was, like, so infuriating to me, and I was getting so worked up about it that I was like, I think that we should break up, and then we did.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that that is, you know.
Right. I mean, it was the
patriotism.
I couldn't
say that word.
My commitment to, like... equal rights for voting. I would like to say that that was it. I mean, it was clearly like a bajillion other reasons that were happening that broke us up. But like that was the straw that broke the camel's back, was the fact that he was supportive of a voter ID amendment.
I love that. And I also realized what my petty moment was.
Yes.
It has nothing to do with any of my relationships.
Oh, great.
It has to do with this man. Years after you and him broke up, I was in a coffee shop working, and he came in, and I pretended not to see him. And he said my name, and I pretended not to hear him. That's some petty shit right there. Like, I straight up ignored him because I just didn't want to play nice, and because I know he was, like, such a toxic, abusive person to you. And
for
I didn't want to be like, oh, hey, hi.
Yeah, no, and, like, talking to him, like, it just would have been a bad conversation all around. I don't blame you.
I saved my energy.
Good. That's good.
And the, you know, the lawsuit that would eventually come from me backhanding him.
Oh, I wish that you would have. That would have just been so nice for me to think about.
It was an emotional backhanding. You know what I mean?
Got it.
Anyway, we will forever refer to that person in your life as, I don't know.
Him.
Like that AI movie, Her, but like trashier and like more regret-ridden.
I'm into it.
All right. Him.
Him. You know, him.
Comment on our Instagram if you have a him.
Ooh, yes, please. Let us know.
Okay, are you ready to get in our letters?
I am, yeah. Are you?
I am.
Good.
I am. Excited is the wrong word. I'm looking forward to reading this letter. We're going to dive into kind of a doozy. And we decided to do this letter first because we care about it. Not that we don't care about, we care about all of our letters, but we didn't want to save this to last and make it seem like some romanticized finale.
Yep.
We just wanted to lead headfirst with this because it's a doozy, but it's a doozy in the way that like all human experience is difficult.
Right. It's like a very honest question.
Yeah,
and it's long.
Oh, yeah, it's a long letter.
Mm-hmm. But we were both very touched by this and really wanted to be able to dig into it up front.
Yeah. So this is a long letter, so settle in, folks at home.
That's right.
I don't know what
Grab
you're doing.
Grab your coffee.
Yeah.
Whatever it looks like.
Yeah, maybe put the dishes down that you're washing.
That's right.
Where do you listen to your podcast, Sam?
I listen to them mostly when I'm driving, but also in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I'm like doing things around the
house,
like washing
dishes. Yeah, I
know.
Like, I listen to them all the time.
And, like,
I fall asleep to podcasts and... Like, I do work to them and while I'm walking my dog.
Nice.
Anyway, okay, back to the letter. I just recently finished my first year of college. Over the course of that year, I had several intense bouts of depression, anxiety, and unstable moods. During this time, I also met an amazing girl who later became my girlfriend. She's wonderful, kind, caring, and with truly the most amazing heart of anyone I've ever known. Towards the end of the semester, spring semester, however, my mood problems became more and more frequent. This unintentionally created a lot of stress and pressure for this girl, let's call her Katie, as she felt a responsibility to help me and to alleviate my pain in these months. I never intended for this to happen, but admittedly, I didn't do as much as I could to avoid it. As a result, Katie broke up with me at the end of the year. This breakup was different from others I had experienced. According to her own statements, as well as observations from mutual friends, she still deeply cares about me and wants me to remain a part of her life. While she couldn't say definitely one way or another, she did agree to reevaluate our friendship when school starts back up in August and to consider us maybe trying again. We've decided not to communicate over the course of the summer, my idea, in order to give each other time to process everything that happened and to give each other space to heal before trying to sort things out again. By Katie's own admission, the problems with our relationships weren't so much caused by any faults with my character or my actions, but instead by unresolved mental health issues that I had let go unaddressed. I've begun seeing a therapist back home and have found her incredibly helpful, and our sessions fill me with hope and peace of mind. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
My hope, of course, is that by addressing these issues, I can begin living a more peaceful life, but also that I will no longer allow my personal issues to negatively affect the people I care about. I truly care about Katie and would love to be able to start a new relationship in the fall, though by creating something new rather than jumping back into exactly how things were in the past. Her and I have decided to grab coffee sometime once we're back at school. We've also decided to touch base with each other a week before moving back in to decide whether or not this coffee meeting is a date. My question, then, is do you have any tips or any advice for rekindling old relationships, especially when both parties still clearly care for the other a great deal? Is there anything I can do to increase my chances of things going the way I'd like or any way to show that I've been working on myself and addressing personal issues without saying, hey, look at me, I'm better at managing my depression now in a way that doesn't that seems ingenuine or braggy? I think Katie and I have a strong bond and get along really well. From talking to our mutual friends and to her, I don't think anyone would deny this. I think both of us can agree that the reason for our breakup ultimately came down to an unfavorable situation rather than the fault of either one of us. I'm not sure how to move forward, however, and make it clear that the situation has been addressed and won't be an issue going forward. Any help or guidance you could offer would be greatly appreciated. So, Anonymous, we love this letter.
We do. We also want to just acknowledge that this one was a hard one for both of us to read and think about.
Hard in a tugging on heartstrings way.
Yep.
Like, this, we relate to this.
Right. Because both of us have dealt with our own mental health issues, and also both of us have dated people with mental health issues as well.
And specifically had those mental health issues, like my own, affect good, true love.
Absolutely.
I'm taking that from an earlier episode. Somebody referred to their love as good, true love. And it sounds like this is one of those loves.
That's
like,
right.
I love how you guys have given yourself the time away. I love that you're seeking therapy, Anonymous. Like, and I love that you set this time to meet and you've delegated whether you're going to decide a time for you to decide whether it's a date or whether it's just a coffee meetup.
That's right. I mean, I really appreciate how much you have given yourself boundaries and that
totally.
Katie also, I'm really impressed with Katie and her ability to also sort of set those boundaries up and be comfortable with that ambiguity. And it sounds, I'm just pleased with both of you. I'm just like in awe of your ability to sort of talk this through.
Yeah, and we want to like commend that before we dive into our own opinions. So there's a lot going on in the letter, but your specific questions are about starting over. How do you give something a fresh start? How do you prove that you've changed without sounding like a overconfident asshole who's trying to like schmooze somebody into dating them?
Right.
But I think we want to end on that. We want to give you that hope and we want and obviously, like, I want things to work out for you and Katie. But first, I want to just talk about, like, what it's like to feel like you've wronged someone.
Yep.
And you have to make it up to them. And you have to make it up to them in a relationship setting. That's a lot of pressure and something that I have had, unfortunately, like, a lot of experience with. And so, yeah, I just want to talk about what it's like to experience extreme internal growth within the confines of a relationship, I guess.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we all want to, none of us like to hurt the people that we love.
Yeah.
Right? And having done that can feel just devastating, can feel like you are the worst person in the world.
How could you?
Absolutely. That you are a monster. And I just want to say to you, Anonymous, that just to acknowledge the fact that you yourself didn't hurt Katie, right? There are things that are at play here that caused you to do these things. And I just want to say that in that moment, in that spring semester, you were doing the best that you could with the knowledge, experience and resources that you had available to you.
At that moment, you couldn't have done any better or else you would have.
Exactly. Because we know just from your letter and how carefully you're thinking about this and how deeply you feel this, that you would have not hurt Katie intentionally.
Right.
And you just didn't have what you needed to be there for her in a meaningful way. And so I just want to call that out right now, because I think that's important to acknowledge. And I also just want to say that I'm so happy for you that you are on this road to recovery and that you are putting in the hard work of addressing mental health issues and doing what you need to feel better. my concern for you is just that I want you to be focused on yourself as you do this, because I want you to be able to walk through the world as a whole and happy person. Mm-hmm. And that takes...
Whether or not she forgives you.
That's right. And that takes focus on yourself and not this idea that you need to somehow redeem yourself in other people's eyes. This is about you and about your own personal mental health journey. And going back to spring semester, or going back in fall semester, which my guess is it's going to probably be pretty triggering for you to go back into that space.
That's such a good comment.
And being sure that you are looking out for yourself and taking that into consideration.
Totally. I think that's such... This is why you're my best friend. I just think that's such a good comment and so true, Anonymous. What I want to pose to you, I want to echo Sam's like commendment. I just already adore you so much from your writing, from your internal work, from your relationship and your love. Like I see your love.
Absolutely.
And your humanness, right? I love your humanness, Anonymous. But I want to extend something that Sam was saying is I don't want you to think of yourself or your relationship to Katie as a deficit or a debt that you have to pay.
Right.
It's not how can I make this up to you? How can I do X, Y, and Z? There's no equation that's going to make this quote right because it's not wrong.
Right.
Right? You are doing the best that you can with the knowledge and ability that you have at this moment. And that's going to get better and worse as you go on. Things ebb and flow. So I don't want you to think of it when you picture your relationship to Katie, romantic or not, I don't want you to imagine it as like a well that you're filling or like that you're trying to fill up this debt. I want you to picture it like just existing next to each other and not something that you have to fill or make up for.
Absolutely.
Because you will always feel like it's unbalanced if you feel like you owe her something.
Right.
That's not you settling yourself. That's not you making yourself better.
Yep. That is a way to get into unhealthy codependent relationships is if
or
you
power dynamics.
That's right. If you feel like you owe a debt and then, you know, Katie does something that might hurt you and you feel like you can't talk about it because you're the one that messed up
in the
first place.
Oh, I've done that when I was the fucker upper.
Yep.
And then
I've done it too. Yep.
Somebody wronged me. It was like I didn't have a right say you don't have a right to treat me that way.
Exactly.
I felt like I didn't have that right.
Oh, for sure. And from the opposite end too, if Katie is the one who feels like you have messed up, you know, that I'm sure that Katie is a lovely person, right? Exactly.
You know?
But that might be something that goes unresolved and that resentment might continue to build. And so I just want to make sure that we're thinking about that as well, because you can't come into this thinking that you have to make it up to her, because that's not going to be helpful for your relationship. And frankly, it's not going to be helpful for you too.
And your healing.
And I just want to say, I don't want to nitpick your letter, but I do want to pull out just one sentence that I think that sort of struck me, which is that you are no longer going to allow personal issues to negatively affect the people that you care about. And I that just...
We underlined that letter when we were reading it because it stood out to both of us.
Yeah.
Not in like a red flag way, but like, Anonymous, your personal issues will always affect the people that you love. It's just that we develop stronger tools and coping mechanisms to not let them affect them negatively.
Right. And even, I mean, yes, but even sometimes they do affect your partner negatively.
Oh, so true.
And so it's not, you're never going to reach a point in your life, in your mental health journey, in your growth, where you are going to be able to say it will never affect someone negatively. And if that is the goal that you're working towards, I think it would be helpful to reframe that a bit and to acknowledge the fact that you want to be able to be taken care of when that does happen.
Absolutely.
And that you deserve that, right?
Yes.
And everyone has those moments where...
Oh, I love you so much, Sam. You're killing it.
Everyone has those moments, right, where the mental health issues come up. And I have been on my own mental health journey for, 8-10 years now? Mm-hmm. And I've done a lot of work in working. I've been through a lot of therapy, and I have gotten so much better about being able to work through some of those issues. It still comes up with me and my partner. Mm-hmm. I am the most anxious in my life in the morning. The like liminal space between like sleep and waking up, where you're just sort of laying in bed and like falling back and forth into sleep, is I don't know what it is about me. It feels like maybe that's where like my guard goes down the most, but that is when like the self-hatred, like anxious thoughts come up the most for me. But morning is also the time when my partner likes to like lay in bed and cuddle, right? And so sometimes it's super reassuring, you know, like that's great to have. And sometimes it feels like not only am I going through this like crazy moment where I'm like processing all of this stuff in a really negative way, but also like there's someone touching me and like hold like, and it's just too much.
Confining you. Mm-hmm.
Right. And so like it affects him negatively because I'm like, I can't do this. I have to get out of bed. And he's like, well, he feels rejected because right. he wants to cuddle. But the fact that we have built up this relationship enough that we can trust each other to for him to know that like it's not about him. It's about me needing to like do what right. I need to do to take care of myself. That so it does negatively affect people, right?
Right.
But being able to process through that and have those conversations with your partner and like know that and they know that that you are working through something is super important. And so I just don't want you to think that your mental health journey is about never doing anything wrong ever
yeah,
again.
Or confining it, making it clean and neat.
Exactly. Because it's not. We're messy people. We are Always. All working through
we are
stuff
hardwired
all the
for
time.
Failure.
Oh, we
Brené
so
Brown.
Are.
Ah, I know. Love her. She's so good. I think that's so accurate. And you articulated that so well, Sam. Yeah. So before we give you some advice about like, yes, how to start over, because I do think relationships can start over.
Yep.
Before we go into that, Anonymous, we just want you to say to yourself, I give myself permission to be imperfect.
Yep.
I give myself permission to move on from that time of my life in which I was maybe acting or in a way that I don't love
yep.
or treating the people that I love in a way that I don't want to replicate. I forgive myself and I give myself permission to be better or different or just exist. It's not about, you're never going to have, you can't erase that time of your life, but you don't have to spend your life making up for it either.
Right.
Today is a new day. And any discomfort that you feel is just your heart telling you that you have an opportunity to do things differently this time.
Yep, absolutely.
So you, please, Anonymous, give yourself permission to move on from this and not feel like you have a debt to pay to Katie.
Yep. Yep.
Katie will forgive you. She probably already has.
Yep.
And the healthy way to move on is so that you guys don't think about that as
right.
a time to make up for or make reparations for, but
right.
instead a time to learn from and start over from.
Absolutely. So in terms of the actual question that Anonymous asked.
34 minutes later. I think about it in terms of maybe taking some of the things we said before and just applying it to one or maybe two conversations with your partner. Obviously, every healthy relationship requires a lot of open communication
yep.
and transparency. But what I don't want you to bring into this semester, Anonymous, is, oh, hey, I'm better than I was before in every single conversation, because that's you staying there. That's you staying stuck to that pain, staying stuck to that time of your life. You're basically like signing a contract
yep.
with that time of your life to let it rule all of your actions and instead of letting you actually move on and grow and be better.
Right.
So maybe just sit her down and say, be transparent and say, I don't want to talk about this all the time, but I do. It is important to me that you know that I feel like I've changed.
Yep.
Or that I have changed, not
yep.
feel like.
And it's also, it's probably good to not just jump in immediately to a relationship and say, we are dating. We are now officially dating.
Oh, yes, totally. We could do a whole episode on the difference between dating and
sure.
being in a relationship.
Right. But I think that Katie is also going to need to see some different behavior from
Show,
you as well.
Tell.
And so, you know, being able to say, I want you to know that I've been working over the summer. I'm going to continue to work on my mental health issues. And I want you to be part of that journey with me so that she can see the ways that you're taking care of yourself,
mm-hmm.
I think is great. But again, make sure that you're not doing this to prove to her
right.
something.
Right. And so we're saying one of the tips is be transparent with her about your journey. But don't necessarily feel like there's a checklist that you have to make up to her.
Right.
More like, hey, I want you to hold me accountable to this. I want you to know that this is what I'm thinking about. But I'm just going to try to be good to you.
Yep.
I'm just going to try to be good to me.
Right.
And hopefully my actions prove this to you, Katie. I've thought a lot about you this summer, but I've thought more about myself and who I want to be.
That's right.
And that's the freaking truth of it. Like, this is totally unrelated, but...
That's all right.
Yeah. Tangents are what make podcasts great. I just had a revelation about my personal career,
yeah.
which is I have spent the past decade or so being a performance poet and being self-employed and touring, and poetry has been the strongest current in my life. It has decided where I live, who I hang out with, what I do, what I dedicate my energy to. And I just had a revelation after what was a very difficult year that I didn't want that to be the decider of my life. I had always associated my career and success with worthiness. And so that's why I prioritize my job over my relationships or my mental health or my physical health or my freaking happiness. Like I prioritize hustling over being happy because I thought that made me worthy. And I realized that if I prioritize happiness and wellness and my own sense of love and self-love over my career, my ambition doesn't go away.
That's right.
My work opportunities don't go away. My success doesn't go away. It actually gets stronger.
100%.
So, wrapping this back to you, Anonymous, my darling, if you prioritize your own wellness and your own wholeness and your own happiness, your love for Katie doesn't go away. It just gets healthier.
Oh my God. Nailed it.
Thanks.
That was so good.
Thank you.
I was like trying to think of like how we can wrap it up in like a meaningful sentence, and then you just stole it from me. So you're great.
You're great. I hope everyone can feel the love that Sam and I just love each other. And Anonymous loves Katie. So Anonymous, we want you to know that we love you. We believe in you. We love you and believe in your love for Katie. But more importantly, we want you to feel like an awesome badass.
That's right. You are worthy despite the fact that you have done some things that you're not proud of. And you deserve to feel healthy. You deserve to feel happy.
With or without Katie.
That's right. And we are just here, two people in Minnesota, sending you all of the best vibes that we can and thinking of you and holding you in our hearts.
Technically, the one petty thing that I did for my ex was that I didn't... I didn't tell my ex that I moved back to Minnesota.
Oh, shoot. Oh, my God. I just told him.
Okay, he's not listening.
Okay, well, sorry, I outed you.
Okay, let's move on.
Anonymous, please, we love you.
We love you. Please let us know how your semester goes. We're rooting for you, okay?
Absolutely.
Oh,
all right.
My God. You ready for the next letter?
Yes, next question. All right. This is from M. They are writing from The Void, and they write, "What are your thoughts on age gaps? I used to think that as long as both parties are over 18, anything goes. But I am 19 now and have a crush on someone who is 24. While it's fun to feed that hopeful and giddy spark, I feel that if my feelings were ever reciprocated, it would be suspicious that someone with 5 more years of experience would be interested in me. Is it really something that varies from situation to situation? Or am I just overthinking things with 4 question marks?
Ooh, I love the 4 question marks.
Yeah, this is clearly something that M is thinking a lot about.
All right. I love this question because I feel pretty passionately about it. Although, what?
No, I'm just excited.
No, I have a multifaceted answer or like feelings about it, but the part of it I do feel pretty strongly about, and that is age differences always come down to power.
Oh my God. Yes, that's what I was going to talk about too.
Yes. So for me, we all have social equity. Is that a fine word to use?
Sure, yeah. I don't know where you're going with this, but I'm going to say yes.
So we all have social equity or power or value, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
And I'll use myself as an example.
Great.
I have, because I'm someone who has a platform and followers on Facebook because of my poetry career, and I'm on stage and I'm an artist and I'm putting myself out there, I appear cooler to some people. I'm not, though. Let me clarify that. I am not cool.
You're the coolest person I know.
Well, some would say that I have social equity or like influence over people, and I could use my quote-unquote poetry fame. Trust me, no poet is truly famous except for maybe Rupi. But I could use this social equity to sway people. Mm. Like, you know, I'm 32, and I think it would be uncouth of me or, I don't know, hyper problematic if I like seduced a 20-year-old poetry fan who was like obsessed with me. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to string them around. I'm going to have sex with them. I'm going to use their money or whatever. They might be doing that 100% consensually, because they love me or adored me or whatever. But I'm using my social and like leverage
for sure.
to get them. And that, let me just say, this whole question is nuanced because we do that in any social relationships.
Yep.
Like we leverage our social power and our standing and our coolness and our jokes, and like people woo other people using a lot of different tools.
Exactly.
But my only thought with age difference, like what comes up for me is the idea that I have power that 20-year-old doesn't.
Right.
And I might be wielding it to hurt someone.
Right.
I'm not. And I wouldn't.
Yep.
And I'm not saying this 24-year-old would, Em. But you're not necessarily asking just about this person. You're asking in general. And that's the first thing I think of is power dynamics. People have power that they wield to make other people do things for them, like make out.
Yep. And I think...
Did I explain that okay?
Yeah,
Did
for
I
sure.
sound like a douchebag?
I mean, a little bit. That's fine. I'm kidding. You sounded fine. But so there are power differentials in every relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is something, there's no way that two people can come into a relationship as exact equals.
Yeah, that takes a lot of communication.
Right. And the issue is when someone uses that power differential as a way to gain control or status in the relationship,
mm-hmm.
as a way to prove that they are better or as a way to sort of bring the other person down.
Right.
And so I think there are plenty of examples of age gaps
totally.
That work really well. My friends, her parents are 7 years apart. And they've been together for what, like 30 years? And it works because they treat each other as equals and they live in that space together. I also, who was literally 2 years older than me, always used to talk about how we were from like different generations and like how I wouldn't get it.
I fucking hate that guy.
He's a little worse, right? And so the example there is that he was using that age difference as a way to tell me that I wasn't worthy or that he was better than me or more experienced or smarter, as a way to keep me in my place so that he had all of the power in the relationship. And so age difference, I think in itself, is fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's just how the person who has the greater age uses that distinction to make the power differential that much bigger.
Mm-hmm. And then also to speak from the idea of someone who is in a healthy age difference thing, something that is difficult about it is not what he said, him. But like when there is an age difference and you're at different times of your life, that can also, it amplifies the unhealthy power dynamics of like one person being younger and maybe not having their life together in the same way. And the older person having to be like the parent in the relationship, that changes the power dynamic as well.
Definitely. Yeah. It might not be intentional in the way that he did it, but it can still play out in different ways.
I have been guilty of that totally, where I dated a younger person and I felt like they didn't have the financial stability that they deserved, because we all know being broke is stressful. So then I became like this parent, I became a sugar mama essentially, which became unhealthy, because then I'm like, well, why are you getting a beer right now? Like, you should be saving money. You owe me. He still owes me money. Let's talk about that.
Let's not talk about that.
No,
right
I don't
now.
Want to. It's okay. I just, another petty thing is I just out of the blue sent him a Cash App request for the whole amount that he owes me.
Okay, so you pretend that you're not petty, but clearly.
No, I'm not petty. Who, me? Anyway, so, I agree with Sam. I think they totally can work. I just think it's about power. Any relationship is about power, really.
Yep.
Like, think about, we were just talking to Anonymous and his relationship with Katie. Katie might have a sense of power over Anonymous because she feels like she can carry, hold this over their head.
Right.
And that this person has to make it up to her.
Right.
So power is everywhere, and it just comes out in age and age experience and, money, unfortunately, because we live in a capitalism, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
So, Em, how do we feel about age differences? As long as you feel like you are being taken care of,
mm-hmm.
respected.
Yep.
That there are boundaries and that they value you as who you are and not as a lesser than.
Yes.
And that you're able to have healthy communication about when that power dynamic gets a little off. Because they do. It happens in all relationships. Power dynamics get off in all relationships.
Yep.
But age is just one of those things in which it starts out that the slate that way.
Right, exactly. So you have to work actively against it.
Yeah, or maybe not. Because, you know, the one thing I'll add before we close out is, like, I think about, my sister has talked about this a lot because she's struggled with an eating disorder for the majority of her life.
Sure.
And in the same way that addicts tend to be, their emotional maturity can sometimes be stunted to the age that they started using.
Yep.
My sister has spoken similarly about her ability to be emotionally open or emotionally intimate.
Yeah.
Her emotional intelligence was sort of stunted and paused during the time of her eating disorder.
Yep.
And it limited her personal maturation, which is a terrible word, by the way. Anyway, so she talks now about how she's kind of dating. She's experiencing the dating. She's in her 30s like we are. And she's experiencing the dating life that she wanted when she was in her 20s now.
Yep.
So she has found herself drawn to younger people because that's where she's at emotionally. So this is all to say, to echo what we've been saying, is that it can be okay. It just depends on how that person is acting, how they're carrying themselves, how they're treating you, and making sure to advocate for yourself.
Right. Well, and also we see the same thing in the gay community, too, about, like, people who come out later in life.
Mm-hmm.
And just the amount of maturity that they have in their relationships with same-sex partners, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things at play in here, but what we're trying to get at is just sort of that this is, that we're more concerned about the power differential than we are about the age difference.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I just want to say, don't overthink your crushes, just, like, crush on who you want to crush on.
Oh, smart, yeah. Because this is just a crush, right? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Be like, hey.
Sierra's really good at flirting, as you can
totally,
tell.
Totally. You can't see, but I'm winking with both eyes at the same time.
Yeah, that's right. She just licked her lips at me.
Oh, God. This is why I'm alone.
Well, Em, thank you so much for the question and for giving us the platform through which to just express our opinions about things. It's just
totally
fantastic.
We love you. Crush on.
Crush
girlfriend.
On.
And
like who you want to like.
Yeah. Just don't let them take advantage of you.
Absolutely.
Or I'll slap them across the face.
Okay. Wow. Violent mood today.
I'm sorry. All right. Last letter. I love this one. This is from Nicole, who's writing to us from the void. Nicole writes, what to do when they break your heart because they fell out of love with you, but he didn't even know 80% of the things about me, nor did he care to ask. What the fuck? He once said he loved me and saw a future with me, and suddenly I'm not enough? I'm boring? He said he likes other people more than me. He likes me. That can't be love, right? Ooh, I love that letter, and I love how sassy it is.
Seriously.
And you know what, Nicole? That's not love.
Nope.
Well, actually, that's the antithesis of the answer I'm going to give you. But right now, I just want to roll with this angry vibe you've got going with me.
That's right.
No, that's not love. It's not healthy love. He's not treating you well. So he can go fuck himself.
Agreed.
Okay.
This is a perfect block, 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 block.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You don't need him in your. He is negative energy.
Mm-hmm.
He is a black hole.
He's making you question your worth and your value. And like, he's literally making you question what is love.
Right.
And like my best friend Sam Blackwell once told me, there is love out there for you that doesn't make you work so hard.
That's right.
And right now you're doing emotional labor to be like, what is this? Why are you making me feel this way?
Ugh, so block him.
Block, 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 block.
Block him on Instagram.
Hashtag
block him on Facebook.
Five blocks.
Twitter.
Hashtag block, 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 block.
All of it. Just block him. You don't need him. You don't need him in your life.
And guess what? You're going to feel free as a fucking naked bird after you do this. Just flying around with no bird pants on. And it's just going to let you, you're going to wake up and think, oh my God, this person no longer takes up space in my life because I have given him no space to do so. And you've stopped yourself from doing the creeping thing, you know, which we do just to torture ourselves.
That's right. And here's the thing is that like,
Block is for you, not just for,
right,
to make
like,
him.
10 years ago, we didn't have all of these things with which the people who are awful to us get to, like, be in our lives.
I know.
Right?
Like, I know. Like, don't you love when people hurt you? Just watch your Instagram story.
Oh, my
and
God.
And you're like, God damn, you can look at my story, but you can't respect me as a human being.
Seriously, right? So just, like,
or pay me back.
Just take that toxic. Okay. Wow, triggered. Just take that toxicity and just like move it out of your life.
Yeah.
And okay, so.
Okay, but okay, let's get to our real advice. That's us like saying yes, like write this angry letter, feel angry.
That's right.
Don't let him make you question what love is because you know what love is, Nicole.
That's right.
And it's not this. And
okay.
But I will say this.
This is also hard.
This is very difficult. And I will speak from very personal, dramatic experience that I have spent nights replaying conversations that I've had with a lover and thinking, they once said this to me.
Mm-hmm.
They once told me this. Yep. They said they would love me forever. They said that they were my person.
Yep.
And that they would never leave me and that we were meant to be together. And then they left me. And that kind of dissonance, to carry that kind of contrasting realities in your head,
yep,
is incredibly painful and will make someone drink gin at 9 in the morning, right? That kind of dissonance is what makes heartbreak so hard,
yep,
because you are just mashing two opposing realities against each other, grinding them together and trying to make sense of it.
That's
and
right.
They won't make sense.
Ever. And you spend so much of your mental capacity, so much of your heart's capacity trying to figure out a way in which they fit together. It's either, oh, he was lying when that happened, or he meant it,
he's
but now
lying
he doesn't.
Now.
Right,
yep,
exactly. And it's just like...
I call it mental gymnastics.
Right.
Like you will do mental gymnastics to try to make sense of it, and you will exhaust yourself,
right,
like a toddler on sugar.
And for what? For nothing.
Nothing. For nothing.
Right? And that's that's a really hard thing to think about. And I think that, like, you and I, like, continue to struggle with that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, this mental gymnastics is for no one. Like, it's not going to bring him back. It's not going to make you feel better.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that's going to make you feel better is to just let that go. Understand that two things can be true at the same time,
mm-hmm,
and that there is going to be no point at which those two things come together and make any sense.
Right. And I think the most mature yet difficult thing about heartbreak is saying to myself, this person genuinely loved me once.
Yep.
They do not anymore. And that is okay.
Oof. Oh, man.
I know.
Just want to like write that down and like stick it in my pocket.
Oh, my God. Well, it's just hard to accept that, right? Like, it's hard to...
Yep.
Our hearts just don't want to let go. We're like a Celine Dion song forever.
For sure. Well, and it just feels like it's clear to
it
me.
It undercuts, yeah.
Right,
I know.
Nicole, that you felt love for this person. And the fact that he has sort of undermined that makes it feel like that love doesn't have value.
Wasted, right.
But it does. It still has value.
Right.
You felt it. You are feeling it now. It's real and it's true. And it is something that is inside your heart, and that is okay.
Right.
And it just because he doesn't return it doesn't mean that it has less value.
And there is a day, it might not be today and it may not be tomorrow, but there is a day that you will wake up and think, I loved him and that is okay.
Yep.
And I can move on right now.
Yep.
And we hear your pain and we hear your anger in your letter. And we just want to vocalize how hard it is to compare realities, like past to present.
Yep.
You know, we just smash our brains against them forever.
Yep.
And that's okay. You said, am I not enough? Am I boring?
Oof.
And so we want to say to you, Nicole, you are absolutely 100% enough right now, as is, whether he thinks so or not.
Absolutely.
Whether he said so at one time or not. Just because he says, I love you yesterday and I don't love you today, doesn't mean you are not lovable. It has literally nothing to do with other people.
Absolutely.
Your worthiness and your wholeness right now have nothing to do with this piece of garbage that you should block, 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 block.
Absolutely.
So you've been questioning love, you've been questioning your worthiness, and so we want to echo how hard it is to compare these contrasting realities. We want to tell you to block this son of a bitch who doesn't deserve your attention or your emotional labor. But most importantly, Nicole, I want you to know that you should give yourself permission to move on. You should say, I acknowledge this. This happened. They made me feel this way. And I'm not going to let it take up an unnecessary amount of space in my life anymore. Because you can give it space. You can. But at one point or another, you have to downsize that space.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to downsize it one more time. And eventually, you have to fold it up, put it in your pocket, or burn it. Like, that's what I think about grief and breakups.
Yeah.
Like, we need to give ourselves space, but at one point, we have to tell ourselves, like, enough is enough. I need to move on. I need to stop giving you my energy.
That's right.
Because you said this to me once in a relationship, or in a breakup, you said, he has chosen this.
Mm-hmm.
How did you phrase it? I was like, oh, I'm sad. And you're like, he has chosen to be not a part of your life anymore.
Right.
You need to.
Right. He's made that choice. Then there's nothing that you can do to make that choice.
Right.
And, or to change that choice.
Right.
And so what you can, the only thing that you can do right now is to figure out what that means that he has made that choice.
Right. And it might not make sense though. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
No.
Block, 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 block.
People are
confusing douchebags.
Confusing people.
Yeah. People. Sorry.
And it just, and we can't define ourselves and our worth through other people.
Right.
And we all have worth and we are all enough and we are all imperfect and boring maybe mm-hmm. and less exciting than like other people. But
I know. I hate that. Let's go back to being angry so we can close it out on like an angry, empowered note. Whoever calls you boring or like tells you that they like other people more than you, they're just going after the shinier, sparklier.
Well, it's clear that they don't actually want like a connection with a person.
Right.
Like if they're more interested in someone who's quote-unquote exciting or like other people that might be out
then
there.
Then they're going to live a very long, lonely life.
That's right. And they will never have, okay, this is too much. They might not ever have like an authentic human connection, an authentic, meaningful relationship because they're always more concerned about what else is out there
right.
than on being themselves with another person or persons.
And developing true intimacy.
Exactly.
And true intimacy is slow-earned, hard-earned, and very rewarding.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, Nicole, we love you. We think that you're awesome and that this person is obviously putting you through some emotional Olympic event. Fuck them. And we want to tell you to block, 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 block.
Yes.
Block.
And like come over and be boring with us because we're not super exciting either.
Totally. Totally. Oh, yeah. I watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer this morning.
Ah.
Yeah. On a Friday, Friday morning, I spent it on the couch with Sam's partner watching Buffy while he was at work, while Sam was at work.
Well, actually, what might have been happening was that I'm dog sitting for my parents' dog, and yeah. she is very anxious, and so she doesn't like to eat. So this morning, I literally sat on the ground and fed her out of the palm of my hand.
Oh, my God. You...
because it was the only way she would eat, and she like hasn't eaten
You're
in like 3 days.
You're like a Disney character. Were you singing at the same time?
No, I was grumbling because I was so crabby that I had to feed this dog out of the palm of my hand, and I was late for work. But...
so you're like
but
a
you
cranky
can imagine it
Cinderella.
However, yeah, like imagine me singing if you really want to.
Yeah. All right, Nicole, we love you.
We love you.
Block, 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 block. Be well. So yeah, that wraps up our third episode.
Woo-woo.
Yeah, as always, we have the blind date segment of our show, which is where we want to set you up with someone or something that we think is awesome.
So we want to set you up this week with the Ask Polly advice column on The Cut. It's written by Heather Havrileski. I read it every single week. I actually sign up so that it comes to my inbox. And it is just the most affirming real talk that you will ever read. She is so appreciative of everyone that writes into her, and she tells them the truth that they need to hear, and also is just affirming of everything about them, their imperfections, the same stuff that we try and talk about here. She does it, and she does it with way more conciseness.
Poise and grace.
Like, she's just like, she's got it down to an art that we are currently working on perfecting. But I would encourage you to read it when you can and just go through the backlogs and see if there's something that might speak to you.
Awesome.
I will say that like some of her stuff I actually have like written down on pieces of paper and like put in my wallet as like affirmations.
I love
so that when I'm like
you.
Feeling down, I take them out and it's just like, oh yes.
Have you ever tried to pay with it? To be like, listen, I don't have $5 right. for this latte, but I do have this life
or, like,
I
take, out, I take out my credit card
that's
and it like falls down and they're like, what is this?
That's essentially like, what I do as a poet. I'm just like, here's life affirmations. Please try to give me money.
That's correct.
Anyway.
Great. Well, we just want to say thank you so much for listening to episode 3. We just want you to know that you can follow us on Twitter or Instagram or at Just Break Up Pod, or you can like us on Facebook.
Yeah.
That was really bad. I'm sorry.
I couldn't even look at you. you can slide into our DMs. You can subscribe to our love letter, which is our newsletter on our website. You can send us relationship memes. But most importantly, you can submit your questions about all matters of the heart at justbreakuppod.com.
Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review.
That reminds me, I need to shout out a couple people who gave us a review. If you give us a 5-star rating and a review on iTunes, we're going to give you a little hello. I want to say hello and thank you to All the Owls, which is a great screen name.
Love it.
I would have rocked that in like 1999 with IAM.
Oh, for sure. All the Owls at hotmail.com.
Yes, exactly. But it would have been like, you know, 86 afterwards.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Something.
Actually, what was your screen name?
My screen name was Bug62. I'm not going to continue that because it's my birthday. because I was really into Volkswagen Beetles at the time.
God.
Yeah, so
I'm laughing at you, but mine was also atrocious. Mine was just the word fairy, 314.
Did you spell it F-A-I-R-Y or F-A-E-R-I-E?
No, I spelled it the more mainstream way.
Oh, God, Sierra, you really missed an opportunity.
Anyway, so if you please do subscribe.
Wait, you only said the one.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. And I want to shout out and say thank you to Sarah Kissfist, which is either a dope screen name or the dopest last name I've ever experienced in my entire life. And I want to say a hi, thank you, I love you to my little sister, Blythe Bayard. If you don't know her, check out her work. She's a fantastic poet.
Great.
But if you give us, if you subscribe, give us a 5-star review and a rating and a review, we'll give you a shout out on the next couple shows.
And we do this because it's super helpful for us to help keep the lights on, as well as for us to reach more brokenhearted souls who need two random strangers telling them what to do.
Original music, recording, editing, and producing by my friend Big Cats. Make sure to check out his podcast, the What If Podcast. And remember, right now, in this moment, you are whole. You are worthy. It doesn't matter what you did. It doesn't matter who you were. I want you to give yourself the gift of a clean tomorrow. I want you to give yourself the gift of forgiveness. And remember that literally every day is a brand new start, both romantically, personally, you know, at the gym, on your diet, but fuck diet culture, you know, tomorrow is a clean start. And if you're feeling any discomfort in your relationship, if you're feeling discomfort in your life, that discomfort is just telling you that you have an opportunity to do things differently. And so today, tomorrow, when you wake up, give yourself the gift, the affirmation of doing things the way exactly you want to do, which is to say block, 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 block. Or if all else fails,
just break up.